Everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is truly mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves us all. He cares about us in every way, every part of our life. He desires that we know him and how to live. The Lord is limited in how he can help us, because we're required to live by our faith. And if he tried to teach us and train us and we didn't have faith, it really wouldn't work. If a person's not trying to learn something, it's very difficult for them to learn it. When you believe in God and taking him at his word, you can learn things step by step. And this is the way it's done. In Isaiah chapter 28, the Lord explained that through the prophet Isaiah that we learn precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to learn his ways and truth. Without faith, people discount the knowledge of God. They treat it as if it's untrue and not worthy to learn. But with faith, when people are believing God, they take him at his word. And when we take him at his word, we live because he lives. He keeps his word, all of it. He doesn't keep part of his word. He keeps all of our word, every promise he keeps to man. And while we're endeavoring to learn God's word, our enemy is working hard to keep us from learning God's word. So you have, the enemy is against you knowing God. He has a problem with you knowing God, because through the Lord, we defeat him. Through Jesus Christ, we defeat Satan. We easily defeat him. But without, when we reject God, when we reject him, when we reject our Savior, without a Savior, we don't stand a chance. He's not afraid of a man trying to go to God and bypass Jesus. He's not afraid of that, because that won't work for us. He still has the advantage. We still have a sin nature. And all the other religions of the world that man look up to, the ones that man created, they don't help. A man cannot go, if your religion tells you you can go straight to God, your religion is no good. It's still under the thumb of Satan. It's still right now under the thumb of Satan. Satan's foot is on your neck. You just don't know it. But if you believe on Jesus Christ, that his blood washed away your sin, you're reunited with God. You have a relationship. You don't just have a cold religion. You have a living relationship with the living God, who gave you authority over Satan, because he legally purchased our salvation. He bought you. By his blood, he reunited you with the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and living God who made this earth and all the every planet you can see, every planet that there is. He made everybody, every society. He made the angels. He made man. He made the animals. He made the sky, the water, the planet, everything. Jesus made everything that was made, and he became a man. In St. John, he's known as the Word of God that became flesh. He legally came here to purchase our salvation, to redeem mankind from ultimate death, hell, and destruction, and total separation from God. Now, if you go to hell, understand well that hell is not God's jurisdiction. God made hell to put sin in. First of all, hell was created for the angels that went rogue. And he, and every man that sides with Satan, he puts him in hell. That's where he's going. Now, once you get there, what happens to you is not God's business. God can't stop what happens to you if you go to hell. You are in Satan's kingdom. Now, Satan's in that. Now, hell is, understand this, hell is Satan's jail. That's where he's going to end up when Adam's lease runs out. God's going to put Satan in the bottomless pit. He's going to put the beast and the false prophet in hell. They're going to hell. The false prophet's going to lead people astray in Revelation. And these days are nearby. And if you go to hell, that's not God's jurisdiction. You can't pray and ask God to give you relief, because he's not going to heal you then. You're not, you didn't want to be in his kingdom, and now you're in Satan's kingdom, and whatever Satan does to you, that's what will happen to you. Whatever demons do to you, that's what will happen. And you can't get out, and you can't come back, and you can't, you're just down there. And that's a truth for people right now. People are down there. People you know are down there. And I don't want you to go down there. And even if you're of another religion, I want you to wake up and believe on Jesus Christ so that you can go to heaven with God for real. A lot of people who believe false religions, they wonder why they're going to hell. And they can't get out. There was a man on the internet, and he died. He thought his religion was going to help him, and it didn't. But he was deceived, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he let the doctors revive him. He came back, and he told about it. So don't fall for false religions. This guy was a Muslim, and he did. It's on YouTube, and I believe it really happened. There are many people who had experiences of life after death. And the Lord, he let them come back to warn you. So sometimes the churches are too scared to warn folks, right? So God just get individuals and let them see what's on. I went to hell before. In 1986, January 1986, I went to hell. The Lord let me see it in a dream. I went to sleep. And I was in hell for a while. And I saw people falling. I can still remember it to this day. I can still remember the heat. But I wasn't afraid, because I'm God's child. So when people say they went to heaven or hell, I can believe them, because I went there. Well, preacher, that was just a dream. No, I've been in dreams before. I've had all kind of dreams. But that, I went, my spirit man went to hell for a while. And the Lord let me see. And the next year he called me to the ministry. Now we're still talking about end times. And the focus is on, the Lord's been dealing with me about the parable of the tares of the field. Now the last few broadcasts we dealt with that. And finishing up on the parable of the tares and wheat. The Lord is separating the tares now in bundles to be burned. Now understand, people sort themselves. God don't sort you out because he don't like you. He loves everybody. And every soul is very, very precious to God. Now just think for a moment in your life. Think of all the people who were bold enough to tell you about Jesus. Now whether you got saved or not, the Lord, that was the Lord sending people to you to tell you about him so that you could live. Now go back and soften your heart and try to remember what they said. Because if you soften your heart, you got saved. If you harden your heart, you got bold in your ways and didn't get saved and put it off and discounted it as if it was just people, superstitious people. Well, the people that endeavor to tell you about Jesus, let me tell you what happens to them when they decide to tell you about Jesus. First of all, the Lord prompts them to do it. And then the enemy tries to attack them from telling the truth or hinder them. And if they were bold enough to begin talking to you about Jesus, the enemy, if he can get away with it, he will send distractions, people to interrupt the conversation, people that to get you off track so that you won't hear the gospel, so that you'll spit it out. because he knows that when people tell you about what Jesus did, that's where your faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing God's word. So one person may have tried to tell you about Jesus and they got interrupted. The Lord sent another person. You may have been listening to the radio and somebody said what you needed. And the enemy will try to get your mind off that. Harden your heart so you'll spit it out. Then you might be walking past the TV or channel surfing and the Lord will have a preacher on there talking about Jesus again and salvation. An old sermon of Billy Graham might come up and you may sit there and watch it for a while. And the enemy will have somebody call you on the phone to get your mind off it. Now this is what's going on. And then sometimes people get mad at the people who tell them about Jesus. That's because the enemy has a lot of place in your life and he's trying to get you to keep your heart hardened so he can burn you up. He don't want you in God's kingdom. And if your religion teaches that Jesus is just a prophet, or you don't have to listen to him, or you don't need him to go to the Father, you don't need him to be joined together with God Almighty, that's a lying religion made by man based on pride. It can't help you. A few days ago, I said, Lord, this is a serious matter. And we don't have much time, though. The Lord even told me that the day is set. And I believe it's soon. And I said, Lord, every night I want you to give me some scriptures and guide me, help me to say exactly what you want. And one night I was in His presence, and He gave me a scripture. And that morning when I woke up, the Lord said, He said, you need to be more frank. So that's what I'm doing now. If your religion denies Jesus Christ as your Savior, leave it alone. Don't trust Jesus. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you enter into the plan of God. A lot of people want to be involved with the plan of God. You enter it through Christ. Take His word and learn it. A lot of people die trying to interpret the word into languages from Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic into English and German and other language and French, all these different languages, Spanish. They translated it in Latin so that the Catholic Church could dominate religion. And the Catholic Church killed people. And the enemy killed people for interpreting the King James Version into English and the Tyndale Version into English. Martin Luther had it translated into German. And he started people getting saved again. Before that, when he was living in the dark ages when people had slowed down the gospel and the enemy was taking strongholds all over the planet. And now he has religions that will kill Christians. In other nations, they will kill you just because you're a Christian. And you can't trust our politicians to get the vote. They'll deny Jesus Christ too in this country. You know, and in a while, if it continues like it is, after a while they'll try to make it against the law in this country to be a Christian. And they'll try to kill you. It's coming. But Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I'm not afraid of the world. Satan is afraid of me. I'm not afraid of Satan, so I can't be afraid of man. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your religion. I'm not afraid of terrorists. I fear God. I have a relationship with Him. And I love God. And I know He loves me. And our Father don't compromise. He don't have to and He don't want to. So I trust Him. And as I study His word, I don't compromise. I don't have to and I don't want to. I will not compromise with you or anybody else. I love you. So the Lord wants to save His people. And He wants people to know Him. A corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. And a good tree don't bring forth corrupt fruit. And I believe the Lord. It's time to get saved. It's time to be saved. It's time to live for Jesus. and everything that gets in the way and the opinions of man and all the sin that the enemy's trying to trap you with. That's why he's trying to get you in sin, because sin is a trap itself. You know, they want to push gay rights. If you go gay, or if you're a fornicator or an adulterer or a thief or a witch, those very sins will trap you. And the enemy used those things against humanity, against mankind, to separate you from the Father. And the only way out of this world alive is through Jesus Christ. Without him, you can't go to heaven. And the enemy knows this. So you're going to have to be smarter than him. You're going to have to study God's word and hear him out. And even after you get saved, you're going to have to read the word so that you can continue with it, so that you can build your life. Now, the next broadcast, we're going to deal with that. On the internet, these broadcasts are almost 30 minutes long. The radio broadcast is 30 minutes. So you can go to newlivingletters.com and hear the broadcast. And more of what God has to say. Now, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7. The Lord is warning us in verse 15 of chapter 7 of Matthew. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Man don't go to a thorn hedge, a thorn bush, and gather grapes, because grapes don't grow on thorns." All right? And false prophets, they put an evil spin on the truth. You're not going to, you know, gather good people out of a ministry of a false prophet. Something's going to be wrong somewhere. He said, "Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles?" You don't go around thistles looking for figs. So why in the world would you go to a corrupt church thinking that your life is going to turn out right? Don't take your children to no corrupt church. If it's corrupt and the Lord is giving you dreams about this church and showing you things that's wrong, he's trying to get you to go where there's a true church. Where in the world is a true church, preacher? Get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to guide you to a living church that loves God, that preaches the truth, to teach you victory. I recommend the church I go to, not just because I go there, but the pastor and the staff and the people of God there, they love God and they teach the word and truth. And I thank God for all of them. I've been to churches that compromise. And now that I know better, I don't go to churches that compromise. I go to a church that don't compromise. Victory Christian Fellowship. And there are many other churches that don't compromise, that won't compromise, that operates according to the Holy Spirit. And they have love and they have truth. And they don't mix it and play with the word. They don't do the word play. They don't use the Greek to get you to let you sin so that you'll go there and put your money in it. I'd rather just preach the gospel broke than receive millions of dollars and lie to folks. I would not do that. It's evil. Jesus is too good to misrepresent him fooling around with foolishness. Verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire." Hewn means to cut. Sometimes we have all these Old Testament, Old English words. You know, back in when they first translated the Word of God, hewn means to cut down. So sometimes instead of reading the Old Testament, or not Old Testament, but the Old English interpretation, I just go ahead and read it like they meant it. It says, every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast to the fire. It's firewood. That's all it's good for, heating your home. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. God wants good fruit. You cannot go to heaven corrupted with sin. Jesus did something about your sin. Sin was judged on the cross. He judged sin once and for all. So if you don't get saved, you're already judged. You die, you go to hell. Yeah, but that's not Judgment Day. Judgment Day was the day that Jesus died on the cross. He judged sin then. There are five judgments. And he judged sin there. All right, you get saved, you believe on Jesus. All right, now the believer's works will be judged one day. And then if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. That's another judgment. We do that judgment. Hey, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I get saved. I'm saved. I do something wrong. I sin. Lord, I sin. Please forgive me. You judge the fact that you just sinned and did something you shouldn't have. You ask the Lord to forgive you and you turn your back on sin. You judge and you won't be judged. A Christian that sins and won't repent, he's going to be judged. If you did the work of God sloppy, you won't be rewarded right. But if you did the work of God correctly, you're going to be rewarded correctly. Then God, another judgment is the judgment of the nations. God's going to judge the nations. And the last judgment is the great white throne judgment. In this judgment, he's going to take everybody out of hell. They're going to stand before the Lord. He's going to reward them for what they did right and for what they did wrong. He's going to punish them. And then he's going to take them and put them in the lake of fire. They'll be rewarded for the thing. Yes, sinners will be rewarded for what they did right when they live. I don't know what that reward would be, but they will be rewarded one day for it. They just didn't get saved, so they can't go to heaven. They might have been a doctor to save lives, a lawyer that was truthful, whatever. They just didn't get saved, so they'll be rewarded for whatever it was they did right. They may have raised their children right. They may have done things right. People do things right and still go to hell because they didn't get saved. Only because they didn't get saved. And I believe that punishment won't be as severe, but they still going to be put in the lake of fire. Get saved. Now, years ago, I guess it was the early 90s, the Lord said, I want to give man his individual uniqueness back. And I said, Lord, what in the world is... I had an idea of what it was, but I asked for clarity. I said, what do you mean? What is a man's individual uniqueness? And he made it simple for me. He said, it's what you want in life. It's what you want to be in life. And it's what you want to do in life. I'm going to say that again. It's what you want to do. It's what you want to be in this life. And it's what you want in this life. And these desires are in the heart. That's part of your creativity. They don't conflict with the Word of God. These desires. These are true desires. They're not false desires. They're true. It's part of your makeup. Hear me good. Hear me out. What you want to do, what you want to be, and what you want in life. The true desires that God gave you when he created you. That's you. And these desires are truthful. They don't conflict with God's word, and they don't conflict with your conscience. They don't conflict with God's word, and they don't conflict with your conscience. And these are the things you need to isolate and do. If you desire a certain car, that's what you want to drive in your life. I don't care what it costs, and I don't care how cheap it is. Believe God for that car. Same thing with the house. Same thing with your career. And same thing with your character and what you do for a living. Endeavor. Jesus paid a high price for you to receive the things you truly desire. It's not out of reach. It's not selfish. It's not wrong. Do those things. If you want those things in your life, do those things. Achieve those things. Receive those things. Believe for them. And by all means, do what God gives you to do. Every time the Lord calls somebody to the ministry, see, people got it all balled up. They think that God is only about ministry. And he's not. He's about every part of your life. And that's why people don't get to know him. They think he's mean, and if you don't preach, he's going to kill you. He's not like that. He wants you to do it out of love, not out of fear. Now, if he called you to the ministry, and he has a right to, you're his child. And you're his creation. You're not just his child, you're creation. He has a right to command you and ordain you to do something. And when that happens, do it. When he calls you, peace is the first gift for it. And you have an inward desire to do it. I did not want to be a preacher. And the Lord knew that. So he let me see hell. I don't want people. I wanted to do something about the people falling in hell. And then after some time, after almost a year, he called me to the ministry. And he knew that I had a love for his people. I had preconceived ideas about ministry. See, the enemy knew that the Lord would one day call me to the ministry. He suspected it. Satan is stupid, and he's crazy in some ways, but he's also smart. He said, that guy, he's got a love for God. He just don't know it. He's got a love for people, so the Lord's probably going to call him to the ministry. Satan is smart. He's stupid, though. In his way, he rejected God. Stupid. But he's still smart. And not to be underestimated. He's old. He's older than we are. But he's nowhere near Jesus Christ. And he's not equal to Jesus Christ. And he's not a topside angel. He had a jurisdiction that he was over, but he's not a leading angel. There were five classes of angels that was greater than him and much older and much wiser. He had a mission, but he was a turncoat. He's stupid. Don't trust him. So when the things that you desire, the places you want to live, or whatever it is that makes you tick, that's what you need to seek God about for you personally. Whatever God gives you to do, put your heart in it and do it. That's your individual uniqueness right there. The things God give you to do, that's a duty. But the things that you are, you need to become that. And you need to do those things. And you need to seek him out on it. Because when we seek the Lord, then we can grow. Then we can live. Now, next week, tell people about the broadcast. We're out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to bless those that love him and do his way.